All right, what's up, everybody? This is episode 12 of the Young Lads Podcast. Harris Eisenberg and Peter DeFee Jr. with you. Trade deadline coming up in just about a week, so thought it would be a perfect time to discuss some possible moves that can happen and also give you, I wouldn't say insight, but a little bit of an idea of who could be on the move. There's some obvious names, and then there's some not-so-obvious names that each of us are thinking about. But first, before we get going, Peter, battling through illness, how are we doing?
Doing good. Last week, something hit me. I don't know what it was. Just got a little bit of like a head cold. Took a lot of medicine, so a lot of the time I was just out. That's why I was like, you asked me if we wanted to do a podcast last week, and I was like, dude, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to keep my eyes open. What if I'm just like sleeping halfway through the podcast? So feeling better though. Hit a little gym sesh today outdoors. Got a little bit of sweat going, so I think I got the rest of it out of me. But we're all good to go now.
There we go. Yeah, we're good to go. Perfect timing too, just the way the baseball season's kind of shaking out. Before we get into the trade deadline stuff, let's start with some of our guys. The Rays and the Orioles playing a series at Tropicana Field this past weekend, and it's the Orioles who come away in first place in the AL East. Watched a little bit of it, saw a legendary tweet that I liked, but other than that, didn't really get a chance to catch most of it. I was texting some people yesterday. Just the Orioles are just flat out really good. Peter, I'm sure you watched a little bit of that series. Just wanted to get your thoughts of it before I chime in on a little deep dive on what's making the Orioles so good right now.
Yeah, the one that stung the most was that first game, where it was, I think the Orioles got to like a 3-0 lead. They come back and tie it, the Rays do, and then all of a sudden just extra innings, you give up that run. And that was the one that kind of just stung the most, because it's like, wow. It's like we were that close to getting first place back. And then because this was a Thursday through Sunday. So Friday, getting that 3-0 win, that was a big win. I felt like that was the win that would have propelled them to maybe winning this series, maybe taking the next two games. And we saw that almost happened on Saturday when they came back down from 5-0. That was a game I thought that the momentum had shifted. After it was 5-0, McClanahan didn't have the greatest of starts, but then you battle back down. That was the game that I thought this looked like the Rays team that we've been watching for the last 3 months, because although they got down 5-0, you saw a lot of fight in their bats and a lot of good ABs throughout the entire game. You saw the pitching staff after McClanahan kind of just shut everything down until we got to the top of the ninth, and then Fairbanks, three hits, I think, in that inning. Not a single one of them was hit over 75 miles per hour, so that was just a little bit of bad luck. And then yesterday I wasn't able to watch any of the game because I had a game of my own. But just seeing that late in games, not being able to hold leads or not being able to just hold ties to give the offense a chance to win in the last at-bats, that's kind of stung too a little bit throughout this series. But, I mean, like you said, the Baltimore Orioles are a really good team. They got Gunnar Henderson, who could possibly win the Rookie of the Year. He's going to be fighting with Jace Young for it, or Josh Young, excuse me. And you just have good young pitching, and then you have a almost reincarnation of a reincarnation of what the Royals did in 2014 and 2015 with Felix Bautista and Yennier Cano. And you can even put in Perez there too as their 7th, 8th, and 9th guy. So they have a really good bullpen. And they're possibly Marcus Stroman away from really like potentially making a deep run in this postseason.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're a team to definitely keep our eyes on at the deadline. So as it stands, I mean, 61-38 are the Orioles, 61-42 are the Rays. So Tampa Bay's two games back of Baltimore. Obviously, the Rays are clear. I mean, they occupy the first wild card by, a good chunk of games. But obviously, everyone wants to win the division. Yeah, the Orioles, here's my thing with them. Look at all the homegrown talent. I mean, that period of being really bad from 20—I wouldn't even call 2017 a bad year. From 2018 to 2021 is now starting to pay off for this team. A lot of their guys that they have are homegrown. And they've added a lot of pieces. Like, I mean, Cedric Mullins, solid player. Then you compliment him. I mean, Aaron Hicks, your fourth outfielder, and, you know, we've talked about him many times. He's been a solid piece for the Orioles. You know, Austin Hayes as well was a starter in the All-Star game. So all these guys that you would never think of last year would be, you know, on a first-place ball club are. And, you know, we saw it last year, too, how good the bullpen was for Baltimore. They just needed the starting pitching. It seems like they need that now. They have made a move recently. They did acquire Shintaro Fujinami from Oakland. I think I got that right.
I think it's Shintaro.
Shintaro, yeah. Right. Yeah, you know, that's right. What counts, right? Fujinami is a dude who throws 100. You know, that guy from Japan that Oakland ended up signing to just a one-year deal. Seems like he's going to be in the bullpen. He started out the year as a starter, and the A's moved him to the pen. He was a lot more effective in the pen. So anytime you can get 100 in your bullpen, good piece. So, you know, for Baltimore, it's like, who do you go after? Same thing with the Rays. You know, I think the entire AL East, maybe besides the Yankees, is looking for starting pitching.
Yeah, because especially with the Red Sox, too, that they're, what, 8 games over .500. They just won last night. And you're not without Chris, or you're without Chris Sale right now. You're without Trevor Story. I know he's not a pitcher, but you're without him. He's in the minors rehabbing. And then you got Corey Kluber, who you thought was going to be one of your fourth or fifth starters, but you had to move him to the bullpen. Is he still on the roster right now? Is he injured?
He's injured. He's rehabbing. Yeah.
Okay. So you're without two guys that you thought coming into the season were going to be 160 to 100. Excuse me, something. I think I still have a little bit of whatever I had last week in me.
Uh-oh.
Anyways, you had guys that you thought were going to get you 160 to 180 innings or so. Maybe Kluber more towards 160, maybe Sale 180. But both of those guys are pretty much probably going to be done for the season because I don't know if the Red Sox want to pitch Kluber anymore. And Chris Sale, I think, is already done for the season. Didn't it come out that he's done? I forgot what he did to himself, though. But he injured himself again after coming back and having a pretty good, you know, you can't really say start to the season, but he came back in the middle of the season and had a couple of good starts. It was getting back to that Chris Sale of, you know, 2018, 2019, and then injured himself. I just can't remember off the top of my head what he did. But yeah, I mean, they're looking for starting pitching because you can't just use Brian Bello and then insert other name here. So maybe they go after a Marcus Stroman like the Baltimore is. I think Marcus Stroman is going to find his way back into the AL East one way or the other because the Toronto Blue Jays are talking to the Cubs about him. I've heard rumblings a little bit of like Baltimore Orioles maybe going after him and maybe even a Cody Bellinger too. So I think he's going to find his way back into the AL East. And, you know, that was one of the things that we were talking about, maybe like trade targets, I believe, not last week, but the week before. If the Rays can somehow find a way to get a Cody Bellinger and a Marcus Stroman for the second half of the season, Bellinger's having a resurgence to his career right now. He's having a really good season. Should have made the All-Star team. And Stroman was an All-Star himself too. So that's another guy that you can put before Bradley and maybe after Zach Eflin. That's a guy that maybe, depending on how Glasnow does, you can maybe move Glasnow into the bullpen. For like a one-inning guy, you just put Glasnow, then you put Adam, then you put Fairbanks. I'm just spitballing off the top of my head here. I don't think they're going to do that. But it gives you more length in that starting rotation. And with Bellinger, to be honest with you, Margot hasn't done a whole lot this year. So you need some type of production from your outfield right now. And you can't just have it from Randy or Rosarena. I know Jose Siri and Josh Lowe had good starts to their season, but they've kind of calmed down a little bit. I know Siri's gone on a home run tail, but he's striking out a whole lot too. But if you can have maybe, you know, Jose Siri, Randy Rosarena, and Cody Bellinger in that lineup, one, that's a really good outfield, and two, you add a good left-handed bat that the Rays were trying to add in the offseason that they just didn't add.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we looked at the Rays, you know, coming into the season. It's like they didn't do a whole lot aside from sign Zach Eflin. They just kind of relied on their younger guys. It has worked, sort of. I mean, I just want to get your take on this because you're a little closer to the situation now than I am. I mean, ever since going 30-9, the Rays are Rays are under 500. I'm trying to do the math here. 31 and
I think they're like 31 and 34.
31 and 33. That's what it was. Yeah, 31 and 33. So, I mean, outside that first 6 weeks of the season, yeah, this team's been a pretty average ball club. So they do need to add. Like, it's essential that they add. I think the front office would be crazy to keep the roster as is. Because you could get a team that adds like a Toronto or a Boston or a New York. Heck, I mean, you look at the wild card, even the Angels could get hot. And now you got a case where it's like, oh boy, you know, this is becoming a little bit closer of a race than we want, especially if the Orioles continue to push. And you look at the guys like, you know, the Rays have lost a lot of starting pitching since the beginning of the year, even when they were on that 30-9 tear. No Rasmussen, no Springs. I think I'm missing another name. Shane Boz has been gone the whole year. So, they desperately need it. I think they'd be pretty silly not to upgrade the roster.
Yeah, and I think everybody's saying that this team is going to be the team that it is. It's like, I don't think that's true. If we've seen anything from the last 2 years, I know they didn't get an arm at the deadline, but they did get a bat to try to do something with the offense. Last year was David Peralta. The year before that, it was Nelson Cruz. They actually gave up Joe Ryan for Nelson Cruz, and both of those didn't really work out down the stretch, as in, you know, Nelson Cruz only hit 7 home runs down the stretch. I think he batted under 200, and then David Peralta, I think, batted like 250 in the second half of the season.
He didn't even play in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, to me, I don't think the Rays aren't a stupid franchise, right? Like, Neander and Bendix, like are pretty smart dudes. They know that this offense needs something. They know that they need something with their pitching staff, whether that's a starter or a back end of the guy reliever to try to, you know, get maybe less innings for a Fauché or something like that. You know, because they already sent Beeks down. He was bad this first half of the year. And you really have Fauché, Adam, and Fairbanks. And Fairbanks is your closer, and right now you just can't get to him. You have to throw him in tied games right now, because that's the only leads that you're really getting with him that you can use him. But I don't think they're going to sit around and be like, oh, you know, we're fine with this, with how this team looks, because they went on a 30-9 tear. I mean, this is where getting those wins early in the season, you can just kind of like bank them in. You've got the Washington Nationals, Oakland Athletics, Detroit Tigers, guys like that, or teams like that. You beat them early, so you can afford to kind of be in the slump that you are in now, but you have to add. And one of the pieces that I thought maybe could be added was like a Paul Goldschmidt from the Cardinals, but I just saw that they're not selling them. Or I should say that the Cardinals aren't selling Arenado, Goldschmidt, Jordan Walker, and there was another piece that there was like 4 people that they're going to try to build around in 2024, but I thought that maybe could have been a good piece, because you could move Giandi to third and maybe set Walls down and had Isak as a kind of like a third and first option. You still had Raley up there, who's, you know, been okay for the last couple of weeks, but I thought maybe that could have lengthened the lineup a little bit too. But I mean, I don't think they're just going to not do anything at the deadline, because they can't afford to let Boston or New York or somebody like that get a Marcus Stroman, get a Cody Bellinger, get, you know, a Jonathan India. Like, the Reds are saying they're shopping him around for young pitching for the Reds, but you can't afford to let that happen within your division and not make some type of a move.
Now, I've been hearing some things about some struggles with some guys on the Rays, and I guess one guy to mention as a guy who's been, you know, often injured and I guess just hasn't really produced all that much. You look at, you know, the month of July, and Brandon Lau has been atrocious. Over his last 13 games, he's hitting 162, and he's only got one homer. You know, do they make a move adding a bat in the lineup to sort of get something going at second base? Do they need a right-handed bat? Because, you know, they're very right-handed heavy when it comes to, you know, guys in the infield. So, you know, do they get some sort of veteran middle infielder? Because Brandon Lau, I mean, you know, I think the Rays have been waiting for 2021 Brandon Lau to come through for the last, you know, year and a half now, and, you know, they just haven't seen it.
Yeah, and a lot of people on Twitter are saying, you know, pump the brakes on Brandon Lau. When he's healthy, he's good. But that's the key term, when he's healthy. The last 3 years, we have not seen a Brandon Lau that's been able to play, or I should say the last 2 years, because 2021 is when he hit the 39 home runs. But the last 2 years, he's only played, I think, in 90 games. I don't know what he's at this year, but he missed a big chunk of time last year when we were there with the Rays. But he's just not healthy anymore. And when he is, he's striking out a lot. He's not really producing like the Brandon Lau of yesteryear. And I don't know if you can sit around and wait for him to get healthy, because we may never know if that's going to happen. We may never know if Brandon Lau is going to get to another 20 home run season, let alone a 39 home run season. And I know he was an all-star in 2019 and runner-up to Rookie of the Year. And then in 2020 had a little bit of a down year, and then 2021 bounces back. But at some point, you have to maybe weigh your options as to what can – like, can we trade him for a pitcher that can help us this year and in the coming years? You know, just for instance, because he's on my mind, like a Joe Ryan, right? I know the Twins are going to make that deal, and we're not going to trade back for him. But – you know, can you make that type of a deal? I'm trying to think of another pitcher off the top of my head that is kind of cost controllable that I can't think of one right now. But, you know, something like that. Can you trade him and get like a Shane Boz type of guy that's, you know, another team has gotten is kind of given up on? Or the Reds aren't going to do it, but can you get like a Jonathan India and like have and throw in Brandon Lau to be that bat for them for the rest of this year and kind of be that bridge second baseman? But that's not going to happen. That would be a bad deal for the Reds. But at some point we have to say, thanks B. Lau, but you're not healthy anymore. And it sucks, but that's the name of the game. You have to be able to play, and we can't give up, you know, $30 million for the next 3 years, which I think is what he's making. Maybe more like $20 million the next 3 years just to, you know, say, hey, we like you, but you're not healthy.
Yeah, I mean, just to put the stats out there, he's got one homer in his last 17 games, which is 62 at-bats. He missed all but two games in June. He's only played 65 games this year, and he's hitting .205, and his OPS is exactly 700. So, you know, 10 homers to go along with that, too. So, yeah, I mean, it seems to be an issue. I mean, scrolling through Twitter, it seems like the hate train, if there is one for the Rays, is Colin Poche and Brandon Lau right now. So, I guess that's our Rays takes right now. But, hey, you know, I even, you know, shot a little message to Rays play-by-play guy Neil Solons yesterday, and I'm just like, wow, the Orioles are really good. He's like, yeah, they just are. There's no other way to put it. So let's just go around, see who could buy, see who could sell, any trade predictions. I mean, first we'll start, let's just start in the American League, because obviously the big name out there is Shohei Ohtani. It's been a, you know, Sunday Night Baseball, all they talk about, who they trade Ohtani to, this and that. And, you know, look, the Angels are four games out of a wild card spot, but it just seems more evident that all of baseball is perceiving this as they need to get rid of him. But it just like we've discussed the last, what, two, three episodes now, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And the only trade that I've seen that makes a little bit of sense was, I forgot, I think it's somebody on TikTok. I wanted to shout him out last week, but I don't remember. He said the Baltimore Orioles would give up Grayson Rodriguez, Jackson Holliday, Colton Cowser, Jordan Westberg, and there was somebody else, I think like their ninth best prospect. And to me, that made the most sense, because Colton Cowser and Jordan Westberg are up with the big club right now and could help you out as the Angels. Grayson Rodriguez, you add to the starting rotation behind Patrick Sandoval and Reed Detmers, and maybe you have a nice little 1-2-3 combo. And then Jackson Holliday is the number one prospect in all of baseball right now. He might be up next year, depending on, you know, what happens. Maybe they move on from Jorge Mateo, the Orioles, that is, and you bring Jackson Holliday up to be your everyday shortstop. I don't know. And then I couldn't remember for the life of me who the fourth guy was, or the fourth prospect. But, like, to me, that's you add a couple more pieces and that's made the most sense. Like everybody's just thrown in like two prospects and an MLB ready guy. And I'm like, why am I trading for your 9th and 10th best prospect and somebody that may not be here in 3 years when I could just go to the Orioles and get the number one prospect in baseball, your number two, your number three, and your number nine, and Grayson Rodriguez? So to me, that was the one that made the most sense if they were to do anything.
See, my problem with it is this. There's two parts to this, right, if you're going to trade for Ohtani. There's coming up with the trade and then trying to get him to stay. And I just don't think, you know, as much as I do think the Orioles are going to be good in the next 5 to 10 years, because, you know, look at their farm system. They're loaded. But it's Baltimore. Like, I don't know how Shohei wants to deal with this. A lot of the guys, you know, who are really on the inside are like Shohei's not really a big market kind of guy. He's really quiet, kind of just does his thing. I mean, Baltimore, a place he'd really want to go. Not a huge market, but also, like, it's Baltimore. I mean, you got to think about it. You're living in L.A., Anaheim, for the last 5-6 years, right? And going to Baltimore, that's just, you know, I'm a guy who visits a lot of cities. Baltimore ain't too thrilling. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. There's a lot of other small market cities that if you're a guy who's going to foster $50 million, that I'd go play for. But again, I don't think Shohei really cares. So, you know, if the Orioles go for it, I think great. I think that getting Ohtani now and risking the fact that he won't re-sign with them could be a lost opportunity on the future because, you know, with this core, I think this is a Baltimore team that can win a couple of World Series in the next 10 years. So do you throw all of these prospects away to get Ohtani to win one? And worst case scenario, he doesn't re-sign, and then you're kind of, you know, you make the playoffs, but you don't really have enough to, you know, make it to the World Series. Or am I looking too far ahead in the long term?
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point. It's like how do they view Colton Cowser? I know how they probably view Jackson Holliday, but how do you view Colton Cowser and Jordan Westbrook? Are you planning on moving on from Mountcastle and Hayes? And obviously Hicks, but you know, how long is Mullins going to stay there? Because I think right now, Henderson is your third baseman. He made a really nice play too against the Rays. But you have Henderson as your third baseman. I think Cowser is your second baseman. Jorge Mateo is your shortstop, and Mountcastle is your first baseman. So how do you view that infield? Because you have Cowser, Westberg, and Holliday coming up in your system. So are you going to be okay with, you know, giving up those guys and re-signing a Mountcastle, thinking that he's going to be there for the next 3-4 years until you can draft and develop another really good first baseman? You know, do you think Jorge Mateo, who has struggled the last couple of years at the plate, you know, is going to be your shortstop that you can win a World Series with? So it's just, I think it's just all how they view, first of all, their window. I think they view their window as open. Especially now that you have Rutschman, now you have all these young, talented guys up in the system, and you're obviously in first place in the AL East. So you're most likely going to make the playoffs this year. Do you view this as a year too early, or do you view this as last year was the year too early, this year we were supposed to have our window open, and this is now the opportunity to win a World Series? Because if it is, then I say, you go for it this year. See what happens, because you know if you win the World Series this year, great. Then you have still Rutschman, you still have Henderson, you still have some cornerstone pieces to build off for next year. But if you think that, hey, like we're just wanting to make the playoffs this year, then keep them. But I think it's how they view their window.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right on the terms that last year was kind of the shocker to everybody. I mean, they shocked everyone last year. I mean, they held the wild card spot for, you know, a good week or so, but still nobody thought the Baltimore Orioles were going to sniff a wild card spot last year. Now, since they did that last year, it's like, okay, like this is not really too surprising that the Orioles are here. But also the big thing is like, if they go and they don't sign Ohtani and they make the playoffs, they still go on a deep run. Let's say they lose in the championship series, now Baltimore's more of an attractive place to come in terms of, okay, you got all these free agents from, you know, whatever free agent class coming down the line. Baltimore's going to become an attractive place to come play. Can they lure Ohtani in that way in terms of, oh, he's a free agent. Baltimore just lost in the LCS. I want to go play for them. I don't know. Baltimore seems like a team where you got to bring somebody in as part of your luring process to go sign them. But either way,
I think you're on the right track, but I think more with pitchers. I think you would get that more with, like, I don't know what Blake Snell's contract is at the end of this year, but maybe like a Blake Snell, a Marcus Stroman, more pitchers that would be interested in going. And because you already have, you're going to have a logjam in the infield and in the outfield. So I think if you're a pitcher, like, hey, these guys just need an ace to help them get over that hump because Grayson Rodriguez isn't ready to take that ace role. He can still be a really good two. You know, you still have a really good bullpen. So maybe like a Blake Snell trade too would make, you know, a little bit more sense because you just need another pitcher to be that ace for you down the stretch.
Yeah, I like that one. So, I mean, the American League is going to be interesting, especially the East, right? Like, you know, all five teams are in it. The Yankees and the Red Sox, both two out of a wild card spot. And those are the fourth and fifth place teams. Toronto's in one, Tampa Bay's in one, and Baltimore's in first. I mean, any other look around the American League, I mean, the White Sox are going to be interesting because who are they going to sell? It's going to be Giolito, Cease, or both. I personally don't think that Cease is going to be traded. I think he's too valuable. Giolito, on the other hand, I think is definitely gone.
Him and I think Lance Lynn is gone too.
Yeah. He's just too serviceable. A team would love to have him. So, yeah, just another disaster of a year on the South side.
Maybe trade Benintendi, too.
You could. I mean, the money's not bad.
Do you blow that thing up? Do you completely blow up the White Sox? Do you get rid of Benintendi? Do you get rid of Moncada? Do you get rid of Berger? Do you get rid of everybody other than Luis Robert?
It's funny because –
and maybe Dylan Cease.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it from an internal perspective. From the outside, you look at that roster on paper, and you're like, okay, this team's talented, right? There's got to be some sort of culture problem that's going on there because there's no way a team with that much talent should be 19 games under 500. No way. So I just think, you know, it's like the Mets, for example. The Mets are out of it right now, but in my opinion, do they have the talent to go on a run? I think they do. They're 7.5 out, but I still think they have the talent to push, especially because you have in the National League, San Diego is going to sell. Chicago, who's, if they even don't sell, they're still going to fall. Marlins are starting to slip, and you got to deal with the Phillies. So, you know, I don't know. The White Sox are just a disaster. I think you blow it up and try something new, but they've been trying for how long now? I mean, 2021 seems like it didn't even count towards, you know, success of the organization. Other than that year, you hadn't made the playoffs since 2008. I think whatever development of players there is simply not working because the guys just are not meshing together. I say, you know, blow it up because what's going to happen is year after year, you're going to try and go after the big piece, right? They go after Benintendi. They still stink. The next year is going to be the same thing. It's the same thing that the Cardinals are dealing with right now. They have the talent. They're going to treat it again as a lost year. But how many lost years have the White Sox had now where they're saying, okay, we'll just treat it as a lost year. We're going to go sign a big fish, and it's going to be okay.
Because I'm looking at the roster, too. They're not an old roster.
Right.
Everybody other than Lance Lynn, Joe Kelly, are 32 years or younger. Kendall Graveman's 32. But you still got Dylan Cease, he's 27. Ronaldo Lopez is 29. I don't know how they factor into, you know, your plans. But you got Yasmani Grandal, who's 34. This is probably going to be his last year with Chicago because they have Carlos Perez and Selby Zavala. But then you got guys in the infield like Andrew Vaughn, Jake Berger. You got Tim Anderson, who's your shortstop. I don't know if he's gone or not. Elvis Andrews is 34. He's not going to be there for much longer. And then guys in the outfield, Luis Roberts, 25. Oscar Colas is 24. Gavin Sheets is 27. And Eloy Jimenez is still 26. So it's like, do you – that's why I'm asking. Like, do you blow it up and keep Dylan Cease and Ronaldo Lopez as your starters to try to build around them? You still got Michael Kopech too, I completely forgot about, but he's injured. And Mike Clevinger and Garrett Crochet. So, you know, now that I'm actually saying this, you also got Liam Hendricks in the back end of that bullpen. Like, do you honestly feel like injuries got the best of you? Because Crochet and Clevinger were going to be your starters. Crochet got Tommy John surgery, though, so he'll be back next year. Clevinger, I don't know what happened with Clevinger.
Tommy John.
He's got to get Tommy John again too?
Yeah.
So they'll both be back. Well, Clevinger will be back next year, but Crochet will be because I think he got Tommy John at the end of last year. So he should be back for 2024. You can still have a pretty decent back end of the bullpen with Kendall Graveman and Liam Hendricks. And maybe even if you put Crochet in the back end of that bullpen too, but you got Michael Kopech. I mean, just looking at their roster, it's like you can honestly say this was a lost year. And they got guys, you know, Yoan Moncada's in AAA right now. You know, you got guys like Jose Rodriguez on the come up, Brian Ramos. That's why I think they're, you know, Clint Frazier and Adam Haseley. That's why I think this is a true lost year. Because the White Sox should have been a lot better. And maybe they are like an arm away, but that's the other thing too. It's like, do you want to sell some of these pieces to try to get those young controllable arms that you can build around?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to look at it too. But no matter what they think of this trade deadline, one of those starters is going. If not two, you know. So I think they're just a team to keep an eye on. Yeah, I think he's gone for sure. I personally think Giolito's gone for sure. Tim Anderson case is a little interesting because I just personally think he might be considered a head case in that town. And they're just like, okay, like, let's just, you know, stop dealing with it and just move on. But it's like, are you really going to overhaul your roster with more prospects to just complement the prospects that are no longer prospects on your roster now? It just simply hasn't worked. So, no, I mean, I agree with you. I do think the injuries have gotten the best of them. And especially now that Tony La Russa is not the manager. I mean, that guy was the worst thing that ever happened to that organization. Yeah, I mean, I can see them treating it as a lost year, just like I think, you know, the Cardinals are going to treat this as a lost year, as you said. You know, they're not moving on from Arenado. They're not moving on from Goldschmidt. People said they're silly not to trade him, but they're silly to trade him because those are two superstars right there. And, you know, as long as the Cardinals are, and I don't mean to switch teams, but as long as the Cardinals are playing at Busch Stadium, they're going to continue to sell out and they're going to continue to be an attractive place to come play baseball. So that's kind of my two cents on it.
I just thought about this. Tell me how good a Lance Lynn in the Philadelphia Phillies rotation would be.
Yeah.
With Aaron Nola, yeah. Zach Wheeler, Ranger Suarez has kind of been up and down. I believe he's been good as of late. But, you know, you add him with the Taiwan Walker as well. Tell me that's not like a really good rotation that could help them get over the hump and get them back into at least, you know, they're right now, I think they're in the playoff hunt, right? They're in the, let's see.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the last couple of years. They're a half a game out of the wild card round. If they want to try to get back into the wild card series at least, because, I mean, you have that rotation and you can get past either Arizona or Cincinnati or San Francisco, depending on who makes it out of those four teams, then you have a good rotation set up for the postseason. You got a couple of aces in Nola and Wheeler, and then you have Lance Lynn, who could be your number two or number three starter, and then Taiwan Walker. That would be a pretty decent foursome to have going into a postseason that has, you know, that, and then hopefully Trey Turner can get on track. Hopefully Kyle Schwarber can get on track. You still have Bryce Harper. You still got Nicholas Castellanos. Who knows? Maybe Rhys Hoskins pulls a Kyle Schwarber and comes back for the postseason, like Schwarbs did in 2016, but you got Real Muto. I think that would be a really good addition to that team.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. And the Phillies seem like that kind of team who, you know, in the years that they're good, they just get these guys who are proven veterans that can figure it out. I mean, you know, you look at the World Series last year, adding David Robertson to that bullpen was a heck of a move, right? I mean, they added more pieces too, but D-Rob's one of those guys who just pops up to mind. Yeah, I mean, the Phillies definitely have the potential to go on a run now that Harper's playing the field, first base. It kind of just opens up another bat to come in the lineup. I think the fact that Harper's playing first base makes me think that Philadelphia may go after a bat, just because that DH spot is now open. There's no logjam there.
Yeah, you could. I mean, maybe possibly go after a Cody Bellinger. You could put him in the outfield, put Schwarber back at the DH spot, and have a really good outfield. Maybe, I don't know who's their center fielder. See, we should probably know this before we start talking about it, but
yeah,
isn't it
Brandon Marsh?
It's either Brandon Marsh or Bryson Stott. It might be Marsh. I think Marsh might be taking most of the. Yeah, Brandon Marsh. Oh yeah, because Stott's an infielder. Yeah, he's a second baseman. Yeah. So it is Brandon Marsh. So you put Brandon Marsh maybe in left field. I don't know what his metrics are this year for defense, but I know Bellinger's a Gold Glove caliber center fielder. You put him in center field. You got Nicholas Castellanos, who's been better this year too defensively in right field. I think he even came out and said, like, I was such a liability that I wanted to get better in the outfield, which he's made a drastic improvement. And then you put Marsh in left field, and you got basically two center fielders and a half an outfielder in Nicholas Castellanos right now. That's a good outfield. And then you put Schwarber back at DH where he belongs, because I'm not trying to be mean to Schwarber, but, you know, there's a reason why he was DHing a lot, or there was a reason why last year when Harper had to DH a lot, they were kind of hesitant about putting Schwarber in the outfield. It's like putting David Ortiz at first base when they had to play in National League ballparks. It's like you have to do it because you want his bat in the lineup, not because you want his glove in the lineup.
Yeah, and also you think about it too, you have flexibility if you get Bellinger, right? You could also put Cody at first base when Harper needs a day, you know, to DH, right? So, you know, that's a good take right there. I think that's a good target. I think left-handed bats are interesting here in this deadline. It'll be interesting to see if the Cubs actually commit to selling this year, because who knows with them. I feel like they're one bad week away from determining if they're going to sell. So we'll see what happens this week. But also, I think another lefty bat that I think might be interesting is Juan Soto. Final year of his contract, and, you know, before I say this, first of all, the Washington Nationals look like geniuses for trading him. You know, they made the offer, whatever. He said no. You know, they traded him with some good term left on that deal, and now Soto's hitting .265 with 19 homers, and he looks very average and not a guy who would live up to the 10 years and, what, $300-something million that the Nationals offered to him. So credit to the Nats, but to the Padres now, who are six games out of a wild card spot, what do you do? Because Soto is, you know, he's not going to command as much money as he once was when San Diego acquired him, but he's still going to command a lot, and he's going to be worth a lot to teams that are going to go on a deep run. So do you move him?
Yeah, I mean, I think Soto's going to be a good bat to add no matter what, because even if he's not hitting for average, he's still getting on base. I think he's still got over like a 380 on base percentage, maybe even the 400s. But it's still
419, actually.
It's still a good piece to have in your lineup. And if you're the Padres, I think they're kind of in the same boat as the Angels are with Ohtani. Like, are you going to trade Juan Soto or trade for Juan Soto, knowing that he's still going to command $250 to $300 million that you probably can't sign him for? So is it one of those things that they kind of just have to hold on to Soto and just let him get the free agency and just take the draft pick? Because if you don't want to give it up for Ohtani, who's a generational player, what makes you think you're going to get some type of good, you know, trade proposal for Juan Soto? Maybe if this was last year, but the Padres were in the hunt and made it to the NLCS against the Phillies and everything, so they had a good year. But you can be looking at getting rid of Josh Hader, Blake Snell, and Juan Soto.
So, yeah, I think the Padres could sell it a little bit. And I think a destination for Soto, if the deal is right, would be the Yankees. Here's why. The Yankees aren't going to care if they don't bring him back because he's going to foster too much money and the Yankees are idiots. So that's not the point. Judge is still not healthy. You got Stanton playing right field, which I don't know if you saw yesterday, but the dude looked like he was moving like a snail around the bases.
They said, what if you gave somebody an MLB the Show with zero speed?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, Stanton's been better. I think Sean Casey has done wonders for some of these hitters. I mean, Rizzo finally hit a home run. Stanton's been better as of late. And you look at, you know, the side-by-sides of some of these dudes' stances, like just overall their setup at the plate, and it's drastically changed. So I think Sean Casey's a good move for the Yanks. Could he help Juan Soto? I mean, it's possible, right? You get Juan Soto out there at Yankee Stadium. He's a good glove, right? Can play right field. Doesn't have to cover a lot of ground. Can hit homers because the short porch, you know, you're basically playing in Williamsport. And then when Judge comes back healthy, you could, in turn, have Judge play center field or just DH him because of his toe and put Stanton back in the outfield. Because obviously, if you're a Yankees fan, you don't want to run the risk of Judge getting hurt again with this toe thing, which is just a bizarre issue. Soto could also play center field. I don't know how good he is playing center field. I'd rather have Judge there if Judge is fully healthy. But I think Soto makes a lot of sense for the Yankees. I think the Yankees need to go after him. You look at some of these bats, right? I mean, Donaldson was hitting a .140, so he didn't matter anyways. But now he's on the IL. Stan's been better. Rizzo's been better. They just lack power. This Yankees team, for a ballpark that small and for a team that's historically known for hitting the ball out of the ballpark with regularity, lacks a lot of power. And I think Soto's a guy where it's like, okay, great. You know, he adds to your lineup. If we don't re-sign him, not a big deal.
And it kind of gives you a little bit more flexibility too in the outfield. You can kind of push, because you can maybe even move IKF back into center field too, put Soto at right field and move Stanton over to left. If that's right. How you want to play it. Or is Peraza still up?
Or yeah, because he replaced Donaldson. Okay. Cabrera, I think, might be down, but Peraza was Donaldson's replacement.
So, but there's a lot more flexibility that you have, not only with your outfield defense, but also with how you can make your lineup. You can move, you can have Soto lead off, you can have him protect Judge and Stanton, or, you know, vice versa. So, you know, it gives the Yankees a lot more flexibility to try to create something, because, you know, if you don't want to throw to Soto, well, now you got to throw to Judge and vice versa. If you don't want to throw to Judge, now you got to throw to Soto, and maybe even Rizzo starts getting hot, you know, with the emergence of Sean Casey as the hitting coach, maybe, you know, Stan starts getting hot too. So you never know, but it adds an extra bat into the lineup that the Yankees desperately need.
Yeah, I mean, they desperately need it. And, I mean, who knows when Judge is coming back? I mean, he says he feels better. Who knows what that means, because this toe thing is just so weird. Nobody knows what's going on. But he says he's getting closer. But, yeah, the Yankees do need to be aggressive here, because they have missed out on a lot of opportunities over the last years in terms of getting guys. Any other team that you think could be sellers? I think the Royals are obviously going to blow something up and try and get as many prospects back as possible. Do they trade Salvador Perez? That's just hard for me to think that they are. I personally don't think so, but he's got a lot of value and he can hit homers and teams need catchers. So, I mean, honestly, could just Salvador Perez be a good fit for the Rays?
I think he'd be a great fit for a lot of organizations, because he's still a power hitting catcher that is, I think his defense is a little down this year, but he's still good defensively behind the plate to where he can handle a pitching staff. So I think it'd be a good move. And he's a veteran presence too. You add him to a team like the Rays now, who lost Mejia. I don't know what you're going to do with that threesome though, because Bethancourt's been really good defensively, but offensively he's started to lack in that respect the last couple of weeks. But then Mejia's kind of picked it up since the second half of the season, when he hit those two home runs in Kansas City and then went off in Texas. And then against Baltimore before he got hurt, had a really good start to that series. So I think that would be a good move. You can also DH him. I don't know if you want to DH Salvi and then play Bethancourt. you can – it kind of just takes at-bats away from either Margot or Harold, though. So I don't know what they feel like with them. It just – and then also maybe Raleigh, too. It forces you kind of to play Raleigh in the outfield more or at first base. You kind of can't give a Rosarena and Yandy as many days off as possible. So it might logjam the way the lineup can construct, but it's going to give you another power threat. That's for sure. But I think to your point too, is I think it all depends on the next week of what these teams look like. Cause Cleveland is 49 and 50. They have some pieces that they can sell off. Probably. I know one of the big pieces was Shane Bieber, but he's injured now. So I don't know if they're going to be able to get anything for him, but they got Tristan McKenzie and they got Aaron Civale, who they could possibly move on for. I think more of Civale than McKenzie. You got Plesac. So it's up to them too. And Seattle's 50-49. So again, if they go, 4-3, are they buying or are they selling? Or if they go, 7-0 this next week, are they going to try to buy at the deadline? I think Lance Lynn would be good in that rotation too with Seattle. Gives them another veteran. And then with the National League as well, it's like the Cubs, Padres, and Mets, I feel like it's just going to depend on how these next two games go, next three or four games go. It's like we're so close to the deadline now that you kind of have to, whatever, get off the pot. You know what I mean? It's like, do you feel like you have the team right now that if you add a piece, you're going to go to the playoffs? Or do you want to just try to get up some more prospects or some more farm system depth and just try it again next year? I think it all just depends on what kind of these next 4 days and how teams are, if they're 4-0 or 0-4.
Yeah, that's why, the Cubs, that's why I mentioned the Cubs. It's like they are really hard to figure out because you don't know if they're going to buy or they're going to sell. That's why this next week is huge. I mean, they did win a series against the Cardinals, but I mean, you're the team that you coach can win a series against the Cardinals at this point. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be weird. The Mets are going to be a weird one too. Like, who knows with them? I think they have the talent to go on a run. At the same time, it just doesn't seem like they have it this year. They're not trading Scherzer. They're not trading for Leonard. That's just too unrealistic for me. You're going to trade for a guy who's making $40 million. They're going to be 39 and 41, respectively, Scherzer and Verlander next year. So it's like, really, I don't know if it's just a good idea for any ball club to do it. I think they got the talent to go on a run. But also, who are you going to sell? Like, are you going to trade Tommy Pham, who's only on a one-year deal and has been injured all year? Are you going to trade Omar Navarez and then, just let Tomas Nito come back up and, let Francisco Alvarez just take the bulk? That's possible. That's kind of the crazy thing too, is like that catching position is expendable because now that Alvarez is there, they didn't think he was going to be ready this early. So now it looks like you could trade Omar Navarez, but otherwise, like, you got Jeff McNeil at second, Pete Alonso, who's been awful, since the Derby, at first, obviously Lindor at short and Beatty's been better at third. So it's like, I mean, who do you move? Do you move Starling Marte, who's also had some issues this year? I just don't know who you trade.
I think that's what it's going to be more like. I think it's going to be more expiring contracts like a Marte and a Pham, who you're not going to be able to get a lot for. You might be able to get like cash considerations or something if you want to just get rid of their contract, try to get some more cash into your system to go up for Otani. But I think that's what it's going to be like with that. And then same thing with San Diego. I think it's a lot of just expiring contracts that they're just going to try to sell and save all that money. If you know that you're not going to be able to sign Juan Soto back, why keep him around for this year? Try to trade him and get whatever you can for him and then save that money to try to gear up for Otani as well. Blake Snell and Josh Hader are going to demand, a lot of money, probably in the 75 to 100 million range, especially Josh Hader because he's had a bounce back year this year. And has proven that, why he was one of the better closers in all of baseball when he's with Milwaukee. So I think San Diego is going to be more sellers than buyers this year, just looking at they're 5-5 in their last 10. They're only four games under, but they're six back. But I think you get rid of Blake Snell, try to get what you can for him. You try to get rid of Josh Hader, get what you're getting for him. Maybe package him up if, like, say, for instance, the Baltimore Orioles are going to give you a big haul of guys for both of them because they want to try to win now. Then maybe you pull the trigger and you say, okay, thanks for being with us the last couple of years, but you're going to Baltimore. So, and then you just try to get what you can. And then, you know, who knows, maybe during the offseason you offer Juan Soto, you know, something less than what you would have to offer to Shohei Ohtani, and you get him back in your lineup and you really, you know, didn't lose him for anything. It's kind of like an Aroldis Chapman type of thing with the Yankees and the Cubs, where they tried to get Gleyber Torres and they did. And then, you know, they just re-signed him afterwards. But I think if anybody's going to be sellers the most, I think it's going to be San Diego and Chicago. I don't think Chicago can look at their roster right now and be like, you know, hey, we're going to make the wild card this year, and then, you know, we're just going to have all of these pieces next year to, you know, be the 2016 or the 2015 to 2018 Cubs that we were, because I don't think that's the case. I know you got Dansby Swanson there for a while. Marcus Stroman is going to probably opt out of his deal and get a boatload of money somewhere else. Same thing with Cody Bellinger. I think that was only a one-year deal, right? With Cody Bellinger, 1 year, like $18 million or something. Mm-hmm. So he's going to go and make, you know, $40, $50 million somewhere else. It might not be Chicago. You got guys like Tucker Barnhart and Yan Gomes as your catching core, with Miguel Amaya on the way. But then you got Trey Mancini. Christopher Morel is really good. So is Nico Horner. But is
I mean, you also Patrick got Mike Wisdom Talkman. You got Mike Talkman and Miles Mastroboni on that roster playing every day as well. It's like, I mean, Talkman's been good, but really? Like, Mike Talkman's leading off for you?
The same thing I said with Chicago, how they were a young team. It's like Chicago's a young, old team. Because you got to think, Albert Alzolay is 28 years old. You got to think in spurts of 4 years, his prime is in 4 years, are you going to be able to win with him on your team? Michael Fulmer is not Michael Fulmer anymore. Kyle Hendricks is 33 years old. Anthony Kay and Mark Leiter Jr. are both 28 and 32 respectively. They're not going to be in your rotation or your bullpen when it comes down to winning. You know, Marcus Stroman's 32. He's still really good, but, you know, Justin Steele's 28. Drew Smiley's 34. Jameson Taillon's 31. And then you look at their outfield too. You got Ian Happ, Cody Bellinger, and Seiya Suzuki. That's all 28 years old. All three of them, other than maybe Suzuki just because you signed him for so long, are not going to be there when it comes time to winning. Neither is Dansby Swanson too. He's 29 years old. He's there because he went there for the money. Let's be honest. He went there for the 7-year, $182 million contract that he signed. So now you're really left with Christopher Morel as your second baseman. Make me a Nico Horner and Miles Mastroboni. Patrick Wisdom is gone in the next couple of years. So is Trey Mancini. Yan Gomes is 36 years old. You're not going to bring him back as a 37-year-old catcher. Tucker Barnhart's 32. So I think it would be better for them to just sell pieces to the highest bidder and kind of just try to restock and reload their farm system, because I know they got Pete Crow Armstrong coming in, but I don't know, other than that, they got Matt Mervis, you know, Nick Madrigal, who hasn't amounted to anything, real, not yet at least. So Kevin Alcantara, I mean, there's not a whole lot in the farm system. You got Keegan Thompson too, but he's already 28 years old. Hayden Wisniewski, who's one of your top pitching prospects, he's 25 years old, so he's got to be coming up pretty soon. So I think it would be best if you just sold to the highest bidder and try to just, you know, recreate a little bit of what you had with that core that came up in 2015.
Yeah, it's really crazy to think how that window of Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, and Schwarber, I guess you throw Addison Russell in there too, was so small. I mean, that's a core that you'd think, man, they should have been together for 10 years, but it was really tiny. I mean, you saying that, you're right. I mean, they just got to blow it up. I mean, I went to Cubs Rays end of May, and I'm just like, who the heck are half these guys on this team? You know, it's not because I haven't watched a lot of Chicago Cubs baseball or Major League Baseball this year. It's just because I you know, watching the game, and I'm like, you got Mike Talkman, leading off, and Patrick, everyone's talking about Patrick Wisdom. He wasn't even playing. It's just like, who are some of these guys? You know, so, yeah, I agree. I think the Cubs just need to sell it off. I think the fans want them to just sell it off, too. I think this is going to be a great trade deadline. You got some teams that are in it that we didn't expect. I mean, the Marlins are falling. They're a half game out of the wild card now, and they're 2-8 in their last 10. So what do they do?
That might be an interesting team, too, that they might
buy. I mean, the thing is, it's like if Sandy Alcantara was just 70% of himself last year, they'd be cozy in a wild card spot right now, but they're not. So I think they add as well. So who knows? I think this will be a fun week to kind of determine who goes where.
This is always the best part. Like, I have MLB Network on right now just in case any trades came through. But I mean, the most interesting thing too is like Jonathan India, 2021 or 2020 Rookie of the Year, 2020 or 2021?
20. Yeah, 20.
But the Reds are like, hey, if we can get young controllable pitching, we'll give up this guy that's only been in the big leagues for 3 years because we got Encarnacion Strand, who I can't believe they just put it to Encarnacion on the back of his
jersey.
Hate that. Yeah.
Hate that.
It could have been like a Salta Lamaki where it's just like the whole just
back also, of his like jersey. They forced him to remove half his name. Like, yeah, it's like, what are we doing here?
But, you know, you got Arroyo in the minor leagues and so with Novelli Marte. So, you know, you got guys that can replace him and you can get good pitching for him because you got Abbott right now, who's been basically your best pitcher. Ashcroft was good at the beginning of the year, but now he's kind of like fallen off. And Hunter Green has been injured the last couple of weeks. So maybe you sell, who knows? Maybe you give India to the White Sox and see if they'll give you Cease.
It's possible. Yeah, it's a good point.
Young controllable infielder. You give up Cease or maybe Ronaldo Lopez too to the Reds, and maybe who knows? Maybe you strike up a deal.
Yeah, I mean, this is gonna be a fun week. Anything else you want to touch on? I mean, we covered a lot in less than an hour, which is shocking for us to cover it in less than an hour.
Yeah, usually we go on these long rants too, and you know, not a whole lot of that today. But no, it's gonna be an interesting week. I mean, I'll have my phone set to get notifications from ESPN and Bleacher Report and MLB.com and everything. So it's gonna be a fun week. I'll be watching MLB Network all week long because, I mean, like I said, today's what, Monday? So a week from today is the trade deadline. And it's like, depending on how this week starts for some teams, I think depends on whether they're gonna be buyers or sellers. Which is an interesting caveat because you have teams like the Padres and the Mets that could go 4-0 and they were like, oh, you know what? We're right back in this. We're not going to sell anybody. Or the Cubs too, for instance. It's like, hey, look, we're not going to do anything. We're just going to try to make the playoffs with the team that we have.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally possible. That's why some of these teams are just operating on a week to week basis, to see what they could do. So I think, we got it covered here on episode 12. Glad to be back. Perfect timing as well. So, yeah, hopefully, you know, the next time we record, I think, might be on that Monday, the 31st of July, is what we're going to target. We are currently recording on Monday, the 24th of July. So, this could be a good preview, and the next episode could just be, I mean, the walls may fall down in Major Chaos. League Baseball as we're recording.
We could have Ohtani and Soto traded by next week. We could have Scherzer and Verlander doing whatever they're doing. So it could just be chaos next week.
Yeah, and we could get live reaction to it too if you just tune in on the Young Lads podcast. You know, I think it's it could be an entertaining one. This one was really entertaining as well. So yeah, we'll cap it off. Thanks for listening to episode 12. Spotify, Apple Music, wherever the heck you get your podcast, just listen, share it, tell your buddies. Trade deadline, best time in baseball coming up. And I'm Harris.
And I'm Peter DeFee Jr. saying so long and thanks for listening.